No, I will not be doing this. Just take that.
Bringing hope to drought-stricken Australia.
So good. The only way he knows how around the nation on Triple M. Face pop.
It's get this.
Hello.
In case you're wondering, I'd be Tony Martin. That's it.
This is something cool. There's something you were talking about the other day. This bloke is trying to steal your girlfriend.
Oh, yeah, Pirano, whatever his name is.
Pirano now.
It's Pirano or Priamo.
You know what he sounds like?
What?
I know that his name sounds like one of those upmarket biscuits they're trying to flog as being cafe style.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's called like Guillermo or Guillermo or Guantanamo, something like that.
How's he going?
Nah, no dice.
No dice.
No dice.
Although,
Look, he presents an interesting picture because he's halfway across the world trying to steal my girlfriend via the internet, which is where I found her, so fair cop. And he's got cash, prospects, and he's building an orphanage because the old orphanage he built doesn't hold enough orphans.
And he invented the BlackBerry.
Oh, yeah, he invented the BlackBerry.
That's what he claims. Well, you know, you've got to be careful here because I came in this morning and Ed's telling me what he's been watching.
Oh, yeah.
Usually downloaded stuff from the internet.
Stolen.
And he goes, and I go, you know, how does the International Observer take to this? And he goes, oh, I don't think she realised what a rigorous viewing schedule it was going to be when she came over from Canada.
And she says every now and again we could go out.
Yeah.
And I say we could do that. But
that's what they'd want us to do.
That's right.
You're a victim.
We're staying at home watching Order in the House. Do you ever watch Order in the House?
I watched it yesterday.
And she'd learn about Australia watching it.
Well, we watched football last night.
Yeah.
And she, and it was the Rugby League State of Origin. Mm-hmm. I go for Queensland. Queensland won.
Yeah.
And at halftime, she said, they're not kicking as much as they normally do. I said, what are you talking about? She said, well, is this AFL?
I said, no.
Well.
Even I know this isn't AFL. And then she remarked, geez, they're big, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
You're not quite that big.
No, I'm not.
Thanks.
You're losing out on all fronts.
Am I ever? But I do watch Order in the House, don't you?
Yeah, I do. And you know, people probably think it's boring. You know?
No.
But there's no gags in there.
No.
But Peter Costello, he is just busting out the gags left, right and centre. Check it out.
Mr. Speaker, a tax policy is not an optional extra in a political campaign. It's the basis of how you pay for all of your services
without a wicket. It's
like a cricket team without a wicket. It's not like a sunroof on your Commodore. It doesn't come along as one of the options. It's like the steering wheel. It's like the engine. You know, a political party without a tax policy is like a soloist turning up to go on It Takes Two on a Tuesday night. It can't be done. It's lonely. It's missing something. I am aware of other tax policies.
Oh, Tom Gear.
He's laying in the aisle.
How do you follow that?
Is it was it the member for Aid Services just on drum?
Yeah. Australian Parliament live from the Friars Club. And, oh, Downer gets up, though.
Oh, does he?
Oh, he puts it. Check this out.
Mr. Speaker, first can I thank the Honourable Member for his question. And let me just say that I'll be visiting the United States from tomorrow at the invitation of Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice.
Member for Gorton is warned.
Mr. Speaker, I will be visiting the United States at the invitation of the Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, and it'll be an opportunity to discuss this.
Okay, putting me to sleep now.
It's on there.
Hey,
it happened.
You know, they're the big guns.
There's so many guys up the back.
Yeah.
It is the best job in the world.
Yeah.
Just hang up the back in a suit. Doesn't fit you. A little bit of gut hanging out the bottom and every now and then go...
And, you know, guys from seats of Parliament you've never heard of. I didn't know about this bloke.
Senator McAleer. The issues were blood.
Hey, but what about John Howard? Yeah, I know it's cheap. It was late.
I like to think of it though. one of the 50-year-old fat guys, just dressed as Anthony Collier, little leather jacket, on his knees with the shoes out the front, half Ruud style.
What about the what about the man out the front?
Oh, yes.
We haven't heard from John Howard. No, and, of course, people love hearing those words that he said when he was on the hot seat.
No, yes.
At PLBFFM, the kiddies put him on the hot seat, and he was referring to
vegetables
and occasionally
shorts.
And everyone's favourite.
No.
People love hearing that.
His favourite type of pasta. In the end,
we get there. No, he gets it right the first time.
Yeah. And then they mucked it up.
Yeah. But he was getting it in last night. Check this out.
The Honourable Member for
Maranoa. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Would the Deputy Prime Minister outline to the House this government is helping local councils and communities?
The Honourable Deputy Prime Minister.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I thank the Member for Maranoa for his question. And recognise his close involvement with local government and local authorities over many, many years, particularly in his electorate of Maranoa in Queensland. Mr. Speaker, as a result...
There it is. See, so it's not as boring as you
think. Get it right.
It's so much material.
It's like Rain Man. Just repeating phrases and comments.
But, you know, just finally, it's not just the usual car. They have guests.
Yeah.
Guests show up in Parliament.
Members of a parliamentary delegation from the Russian Federation. On behalf of the House, I extend a very warm welcome to our visitors.
Sorry.
The Honourable Member for Stirling.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
No, that's not acceptable.
That's not fair.
That's racist.
That's so racist.
Vino Riking!
Was that urine I could hear in the background?
Of course you could.
Yes, you've mentioned that before. That's a good Charlotte here at Get This on Triple M right around the country.
Doesn't really have the
same pipe through as the Riddle by Kershaw, does it?
Really?
Even though he mentions him in the song.
Yeah.
I mean, he shouts him out, but good child don't have the guts to stand by a river by the sea.
Are you sure you've been
holding the ground?
You're still eating, aren't you?
No, I might be licking my chops,
yeah.
But I'm not eating.
You're tucking into some...
Mariana.
That's what I've got. Mariana.
Hey, here's an exciting thing.
Mm.
A brand new segment.
Yeah, you know what we're doing?
A new segment, which I could just tell you what it is,
yeah.
Or I could sing you into it.
Because you said off air, oh, we'll use the Mexican music. And I was like, well, now I've got to make something up.
I've got to find some Mexican music.
And Richard's got to get the mariachis in.
Okay.
The mariachis.
It's just mariachis.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
Okay.
Put it on the list. Now, I don't know how this is going to work because I didn't realise Keith Urban had any songs. Because I can never think of one. I thought he just got around the country saying, check out me here.
Yeah, check me wife.
He missed it.
Yeah, check me wife.
But apparently there's music.
No. There's, the album's going back to 91, which is
really...
Oh, okay. It's great to know.
Mm.
But also, what we have here is I've got poems by children aged 4 to 6.
Yes.
And then I've got some lyrics of the man himself. Now, to help you out, I'm going to sing them, and you have to get up.
That's helpful, is it?
All right. Well, would you like to sing them?
No.
Exactly. Then you have to guess which is which. Richard, you're first.
Okay.
Ready?
Yep.
But I'll sing him in the style of Urban, as I would see Urban if I'd ever heard any of his songs.
Here we go.
Yeah. Flowers drifting by the pain, just like in my dreams, so sweet, flower red, blue or pink.
I'm going to say that's Keith Urban.
Incorrect, my friend.
Oh.
That was from grade 4.
That's
quite a lyric.
Sounded like it was from Chad Kroger, age 4.
Yeah, I didn't get his voice right. I'll change it for this one. All right, Tone, Keith Urban, or Child's Poem. Ready?
Yeah.
Well, I can't believe I'm sitting here today, yeah. Picking on my banjo, big smile on my face, yeah.
That's idiotic, surely. And anything must have created that.
It's all Urban.
Oh,
yeah. From the 1991 album called...
Oh, you're right, there.
Yeah.
One of those. It's just choose which reaction you'd like,
Rich. All right, Rich, you ready?
Yep.
Sorry, I'm manning sound effects over here badly.
Oh, okay, Reece. 2, 3, 4. Taste of wild honey. Listen to the sound of the wind that's blowing through the trees.
That's a tenacious thing. That's got to be a small child.
That's urban, brother.
Oh. That's
really
that's
urban.
Pure urban.
All right.
He knows the wild honey and what it tastes like. All right. Finally, Rich, Tony.
Yes.
This one's called Candle.
Hmm.
Okay, ready. Here we go. 2, 3, 4. Candle, candle, burning bright. We met you at Christmas night. All the things you like to do is gone until morning comes again.
Oh, that surely must be Keith Urban.
Incorrect, my friend. Lisa, age 3.
Oh, wow. Cinder and Aria Award in the post.
So there we go. That's it. Shall we outro it?
Mm-hmm.
2, 3, 4. Now, look, do we have to play their version? Did Kershaw not do a version of Another One Bites the Dust that we could play, Richard?
Hopefully it will be all Kersh Day at Triple M one day. And dream. You know, they came to us. They said, what would we do with the station for a day?
Yeah, because they did their U2 day last week.
Yes,
right. Massively successful. And they've gone, God, surely you can come up with one of those. And we're going all Kersh Day. And they were out the door.
Yeah, it was funny.
Before even that sentence had finished.
Kersh Day Thursday.
That works.
It'll be Thirsty Alley there, though.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's dangerous.
Again.
You're listening to Get This
All Thirsty Alley. All day on Triple M.
No, thank you.
Nothing but reruns of that. What was that one where she was Amish with
Richard Pappora?
That's it.
Ouch.
Sorry.
Yeah,
off topic. What are we talking about?
No jungle to jungle.
Our guest in the next hour just stuck his head in the door and demanded some sizzle.
Just they drop our second down.
There you go.
They have to go through and chop out all the references to what's coming up.
I was talking to my mum today, and she was saying, because my parents live in Adelaide,
yeah.
They say, and the show just finishes, and you don't say goodbye.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. We had someone come to see us and said, guys, we need a favour.
Mm.
You know, there's all sorts of things going on in Adelaide.
Mm.
We're going to have to drop the secondary show. It's nothing to do with your show.
No.
Nothing to do with the content.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's a whole station policy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we've gone, wow, really? So how do Will and Limo feel about having an hour? Oh, no.
Ah.
Oh, so they're not having an hour there? Yeah. No. Well, how does John Blackman and his breakfast show feel about... Oh, no. Right. Okay, well, how does the Spoon Man feel about having an hour? Oh, no, we're not cutting any of this. Right, so of the 24 hours of programming that goes out,
yeah.
The only one that's cut is the second hour to get there.
And what are we going to do if it works, Tone?
And that's nothing to do with our show,
no.
This is just to annoy the guy in Adelaide who has to cut all that out. If we kept talking about it up until the top of the hour,
there
would be nothing. Our show would be 20 minutes. Oh, okay. I'll show you.
Hello, Shane.
It's Shane. Nice work on the scissors, buddy. What's going on in here today?
What is going on in here today?
You keep bringing
it. Oh, yeah.
There's an article about us. We finally managed to get some publicity in Melbourne.
Yeah, in The Age.
Yeah.
And there's a photograph of us on the front cover of like a media guide thing.
Yeah.
Beautiful hits for radio all.
Yeah.
And you flick it. How's
the way Marklin's pushed his way to the front?
Well, yeah, I don't understand that.
And I never realised how big Rich's face was.
Well,
I mean,
he's a
whopper.
I'm reminded of your way too big picture of Dick Emery.
Yes, in case you're just tuning in, I have a way too big a picture of Dick Emery.
Certain people can be seen at a certain scale.
Yeah, that's a very moody shot of Ed Cavalier down there.
There's a shot in the article where I look like the girl with the pearl earring.
That's what I think we were going for.
Not the Scarlett Johansson kind of saucy version, like the old Vermeer washerwoman lady. That's how I'm looking.
They're taking us up onto the roof to do these photos.
Yeah.
And the guy's doing the post going, oh, we're getting through this quick. And we're going, well, is this right? And he goes, oh, well, the last radio show I had up here, won't say who it was,
had 7 stylists.
How many stylists do you need?
Well,
one for your name.
No.
Is there a stylist makeup here and choreography? For a photograph. So that is the opposite of that. That is just that.
Start without makeup.
Look at that. Richard, I never knew that there was such a large gap between where your eyebrows finished and your hair started.
Oh,
look at your forehead, brother.
Yeah,
I love it.
You're suggesting that I'm receding.
No, just a massive cranium. There I am.
There's some great quotes from Richard Martin. Here, give me that.
Oh, what have you got? What's he had to go at?
Who's he had to go at?
Oh, everybody. Well, you...
Oh, hang on.
You got stuck into the wig.
That's not what happened.
What is what happened?
Not what happened. So why would they make that up?
Maybe it's what happened.
Okay. He claims Tony Martin knows everything about politics.
Yeah.
You could tell from me adding the word marinara to that opening phrase.
And at the end of it,
it's so wrong. He knows just enough that he needs to know to do the sketches.
Well, we know.
I'm easily impressed. Compared to me, you know everything about politics.
Very true, Rich. Between the both of us. And at the end, it says how, Tony says that if I go off to be a lead actor in something massive, then I'm going to leave the show, and then his future is in my hands. Which is probably, you know, I mean, look, there are a lot of KFC ads out there, Tony, and I'll probably get all of them. So I've come up with a few futures for you, and you can choose the one which you most like.
So which is, one of them is my future, and the other one is Keith Urban Nuri.
That's old news. Alrighty. Tony, hey, would you like to do mid-dawns on regional radio?
I would love to do that. That's where I'm hoping to end up.
Okay, or B, you could be Rat Faces from Kerry Ann's Offsider.
Also, Offsider to the Offsider.
Yeah.
Intriguing also.
If the stunt isn't wacky enough for old Rat Face, you do it.
Sure.
What do you reckon?
Okay, put it on the list.
Or C, underwear model for Andrew Denton's new Feeling Kinda Bookish lingerie range.
I am mistaken for Andrew Denton still to this day. We look nothing the same.
Okay.
He's quite muscular, Andrew Denton. Muscular compared to me, he is.
Oh, yeah, he's a real Hulk.
He plays sport.
He does.
He actually goes outside. He's letting the
dog disgusting, isn't it?
Very odd behaviour.
All right. Okay, what is going on? Now, that's in the green guiding.
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to put the photograph on the front up on our website, and they're going to have a caption competition.
Come up with a caption for our photograph. You will win a prize.
Yeah, right.
Maybe that won't happen. There we go.
I think we know what it'll be.
Yeah.
Someone will just cut out the name of that special that was on the Crime Investigation Network last night and put that as the headline.
Which was?
Well, we're calling it, I Can't Stop Tooling About Downstairs. When I first heard the name of that show, I just thought, is this another It Takes Two celebrity kind of a deal?
I Can't Stop Masturbating with Todd McKinney. Wow.
It was on the Crime Investigation Network. And Richard forgot to tape it.
Yeah, I did. But luckily, I caught a little bit of the repeat at about 3:30 in the AM. So, yeah, no, it's a fruit fest. This guy's losing jobs. And how many times are we talking a day? 9 or 10?
But what's he gaining? 25, apparently.
Beats my personal best.
Okay. Now,
what about next?
See, that wasn't mentioned in the article.
Was it?
Richard, you've got to clean the segment up. Well, while we're talking about things in Melbourne, I hear who people love in Melbourne. The Lord Mayor.
The Lord Mayor, John Stowe, and you knowing everything about politics, might have seen this story on Channel 10. Speaking of caption competitions, maybe we could run one on this, just to work out what exactly is going on here.
Now, the usually jovial Lord Mayor John Soh became quite flustered when pressed on the no-confidence issue during a media conference this afternoon. Let's take a listen.
At the end of the day, the people will judge me, see whether I did it or not.
We haven't talked about that at all. And I'm just wondering, is it a Keith Urban lyric or is it
I think that's all so.
I can't work, that's I mean, I don't mean to be offensive, but I can't work out what that was.
No,
it's apparently him being flustered, but is he being flustered?
Yeah, I think it's the Joe Biocchi-Peterson style. If you just speak, you know, and no one can understand,
Luke,
then they've got to love you.
Oh, I could always understand what Sir Joe was saying.
Really?
Yeah, they're all the same, these different people. I've got one foot on the sticky paper, one foot floating down a slippery slope, and another one walking up the street in the opposite direction.
3 feet?
Wow. The master of the leg metaphor with too many legs. Bring him back. Reanimate the corpse, I say. I want that guy back.
All right.
Along with time. Rodney Dangerfield.
Oh, you know it.
Time for another Course for Ed. We'll be back. And the listeners are going to get on board.
Yes.
With action. That you can do while you're asleep.
Fantastic.
Yes, that'll be next.
Some pretty wacky policies.
Good
good morning, everybody. Hey, let's get straight to music. Do you want to do it?
I'd love to.
You know, because Triple M is rock.
Oh, our rock.
The premier rock network.
No, it.
Let's rock out. Oh, is this a good track? Is this a hero?
Johnny Howard on backup.
Yeah, sure.
Very well.
He likes to put in. Good excuse.
Good excuse.
Here at Triple M. This is the show brought to you by the massive pulling power of the Nissan Navara. Oh, the best 4x4 out there. A lot of people have been calling in, though. Rob in particular wanted to know if that controversial documentary on the Crime Investigation Network was sponsored by the massive pulling power of the Nissan Navara. Thank you, Queensland Farmer, for contributing.
He liked it.
No. They had nothing to do with that special. No. Wouldn't be seen dead near it.
No, not at all. Not their go.
I'm hoping we will have some clips from that documentary in the next week. But
yeah, well, it was brought to you by the same people who brought you The Man Whose Arms Exploded. And there's a guy in one of the writers for Rome, his name is Chris Kenner, had the best joke, and he said it's actually the same guy.
There you go.
That's the joke.
How can we miss The Man Whose Arms Exploded? So many great docos on the CI network. Mm. That writer's room at Rove. I mean, what's it like?
It's not very competitive in there, is it?
I mean, yeah, no, it is. Yeah. I mean, you've got 39 people there.
Jeez.
All writing one joke.
Right. All working on one joke.
No. But, no, I guess it is quite competitive, but in a nice way.
Yeah. You're slowly white-heading your way to the top.
Who have you gotten rid of?
I'm attempting to. No, I haven't gotten rid of anyone.
Uh-huh. You were responsible for that. Who was the bloke with the beard? Dave Callan. He used to be on it. Is it free? You had him drafted?
No, I wasn't even on the show.
Okay.
Channel 9 days.
All right. Okay. Just hear so many stories.
Yeah.
Can't repeat on here.
The Axe Man, they call him.
The Hatchet Man.
Yeah. Cut your legs off and you won't even realise they've hit the ground.
I think the Australian today is calling Eddie McGuire the boner.
That's just okay now, is it?
Because it was the bony stuff, but now he's just the boner.
Just the boner.
Just the boner, Joey. Edward the boner, as Nicky calls him. All right. It's as though Greg Fleet has arrived with some puns.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
I think I got some on me yesterday when he was here. All right.
So if you saw Richard Marsland and Eddie McGuire talking, then I could imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that happening.
Yeah.
Talking is a strong word. Yeah. The X-Man and the Boner.
Oh, yeah.
Getting together.
Oh, it's like Jake and the Fat Man.
Yeah, it's a cop buddy comedy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the new Hardcastle and McCormack.
I like it.
It's time to climb Talkback Mountain.
How that guy used to laugh in real life.
My sex?
That's my sex, is it?
Yeah, it's my sex.
All right. Have we got an alternative mix of that?
People live, people die, people laugh. Just a laugh.
Rodney Rood and Queensland Farmer. Well, contributing, we're talking for some reason about things you do in your sleep. Now, have you got a clip that's kind of got nothing to do with it but leads us into the topic somehow, Richard Marsland?
Tony Abbott, last night on Late Line, using the Still Knox defence as to why the Howard government is doing so badly in the polls.
So we sleep sleepwalk into changing the government in a fit of absent-mindedness, almost.
There we go.
Okay.
So sleepwalking into voting for the Kevin Rudd government.
I see the Murdoch papers.
So we'd all have to be asleep during the day on election day.
Going to have sex with ex-girlfriends.
Oh, yeah.
Doing the lawn mowing, cleaning the house, washing the dishes.
Ticking one Rudd. I noticed, obviously, word's gone out of the Murdoch press. We've got to get Rudd because he's getting too popular. Yeah. So they've gone in hard on his missus today on the front of the Melbourne Herald.
There's
a cheap labour. Have a look at this. A company owned by Kevin Rudd's wife put workers on individual contracts that stripped them of key award conditions. Now, this is meant to make you hate Kevin Rudd.
Okay.
The trouble is, all you think when you're reading it is, Oh, so they are shonky, those individual contracts, aren't they? It's actually working the other way
in the frameworks he's got.
I can't believe it's not work choices. Those
hands.
Oh, that prevents me. Tomorrow, we have got the answer to those ads. People think there's too much money being spent on political advertising. We're going to sort that out tomorrow. Right. We'll get this. That's some forward promoting, as we say. But sleepwalking, I know people have been calling up with the Steel Knots business, saying that they painted the front door of their house in their sleep, woke up, had no idea how it's been done.
Now, there's the documentary that I watched, the sleepwalking documentary, the greatest piece of television ever to be aired, about when they had the guy that would get up, urinate all over his own bed and floor, then get back into bed, wake up, what's going on every night?
I can't stop Steel Knotting.
Okay.
Is that really what was going on, though?
Yeah. Oh, there was camera footage. I seen it with these two eyes.
And what do you get up to during your sleep? Do you, you know, get work done?
No.
We've heard about your dreams.
Yeah.
That dream, yes.
Well, the one of Libby Gore on the catch-up at the end of the show, getting up in the sound guy.
Underneath. I like the idea that he's just holding a boom mic.
Yeah. I think so. I think he's got a boom mic tone. Just for your amusement. You know, well, apparently, unfortunately, what I do is I get, because, you know, I eat a lot, and I get up in the middle of the night, and I have a snack.
Yeah.
And if I'm hungry, if you come anywhere near me and touch me, I'll push you away and shout a little bit.
How does the girlfriend feel about that?
Well, she's, but, yeah.
Moving on.
Not happy.
I do that thing where, you know, you get up during the night and write down what you think would be a funny idea.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you just get up, and it's like, still not slurpy. No, that's not. It's a mystifying phrase. But I had a bizarre dream. It was after we had one of our regular meetings with management about how we talk too much on this show.
That'll happen.
And I was had this dream where Australia, like with the water restrictions, was under a regime of word restrictions.
Ah.
Where you couldn't speak too much.
Fantastic.
Radio program directors were controlling the whole country. And severe word restrictions were being introduced. Not such a funny idea. There was just one bit I liked, which was you couldn't use adjectives at all, but you could get an exception if for a funeral.
An exemption, no.
People could bust out adjectives to describe the deceased. That's really
good.
That's not great,
no,
but
right.
That's the kind of stuff you come up with.
Okay.
In your sleep, Mr. Martin, what are you doing?
Well, I do a lot
of hands, surely.
I do a lot of that kicking in my sleep. You know, when your toenails are too long and you wake up with your feet cut to pieces. Mm-hmm. I also talk in my sleep, I am told.
What do you say?
Yeah.
Time
and temperature.
The most memorable thing is when I said something. I have no idea what I was dreaming about. But I said in my sleep, and I was told in the morning, Bert Newton's too fashionable for my liking. What does that mean? What is that? Bert Newton's in trouble in my dreams. You've got to pick the right, if you go to bed watching a DVD, you've got to pick the right DVD to watch so it hasn't got too scary a menu screen. When the show goes back to the menu screen, sometimes the sound effects and the dialogue from the menu screen can find its way into your dream.
Mm-hmm.
So The Office is a good one, that's just the sound of The Office.
Yeah.
So you just wake up and you just think you're late for work.
Yeah.
Arrested Development, nice ukulele.
Yeah, lovely. Yeah, but surely you'd be going to sleep mostly with the failure to launch menu screen.
Yeah, right. Really, right.
Your favourite film.
Oh, yeah. Just the sound of McConaughey looping himself on a loop.
Okay.
Disgusting, Rich.
Nikki is declaring the segment over, and I agree with her.
Yep.
It's time to call in.
What's the actual... What do you do during your sleep? Is that kind of behaviour? Okay. Sleepwalking? Okay. Are you painting the house?
Okay, great. Okay. Are you dreaming about the catch-up?
Okay, great. Dovetailed with who would you like to loop?
Call now, 133353.
Okay, very good. Getting this here and get this around the nation. I'm
better than the original. What? No, I think the best incarnation was John Stevens from Noiseworks out front.
Yeah, I've always said that as well.
Yeah, no.
I think there was John Stevens, there was Terence Trent D'Arby.
Yeah, CTD.
Susie DeMarkey? Did she pop up in a gig?
Yes.
Woods were out front for a while.
And as we like to say, Peter Luck over summer.
Yeah,
okay. All right. Who is doing stuff in their sleeping, Kevin?
PJ, how are you?
Hello.
Hey, PJ, how are you?
Good, mate.
What do you do?
Mate, a bit younger when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
Sleepwalked around the corner from my house to the service station.
Yep.
And no one ever smoked in the house. And I woke up in the morning in a cloud of smoke, and my mum walked in and said, "What the hell's going on here?" And she saw a deodorant lid from a deodorant can with about 8 cigarette butts in it, put out into the... So I basically sleepwalked to the service station, bought their smoke, sat in my room and smoked about 8 cigarettes. And then I went back to bed.
Now, can I ask, did you in your sleep buy some of the cheap Chiquitos by the cash register?
No, but I did buy some of the snakes. I bought a packet of Winfield Blues and I bought a couple of snakes. But the guy that was managing the service station at night, he goes, you look friggin' stoned last night when you came in. And I said, mate, I think I was half asleep because I don't remember really coming in, eh?
Yeah. Wow, there you go. Can we ask honestly, PJ, was he right?
No.
Well, there you go.
Well, okay. Well, it depends on how many hours.
There you go. Well, I think we obviously need some graphic advertisements about sleep smoking, you think?
It's not enough to quit while you're awake. How many are you smoking in your sleep?
Four or five sleepwalkers out the front of the building right now.
People in their pajamas. Hey, thanks, PJ. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. How you going?
Good, thank you. What do you do?
My cousin actually just laughs in his sleep.
Nothing?
Yeah, you wake up and he's just lying there going.
Sorry, it's not one of these, is it? Sorry, it's for Rodney Roo.
Yeah, if you need for him to stop that, put on a DVD of The Wedge. Even when you're in your sleep, no chance of a laugh. No chance.
And that's John, one of the writers from The Wedge.
Thanks for joining us. You're starting a war.
No, I'm not starting a war.
You're going to have the people from Westdale out the front.
I just think, you know, shows like The Chaser should get more love.
Hello, Grant. How are you?
Not too bad.
What do you do?
Oh, I'm a cop by trade, but excellent. In my sleep, not quite so keen on the tools. Yes. To have a bit of a problem with having dreams of someone trying to suffocate me when I was younger. Yeah. Except one night I went to bed and I've gone, all right, I'm going to sort this. And as soon as it happens, I'm going to wake myself up and find out what's going on.
Yep.
Went to bed, sure enough, hours later, someone suffocating me. Wake myself up and find myself with a pillow, smothering myself.
Now, what had you done? How had you pissed yourself off that much?
Had you watched the Steve Martin comedy All of Me and developed a split personality kind of reflex in there, do you think, Grant?
No, must have just been troubled teens.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mum mustn't love me enough or something.
Now, do you think this is what happened to Bob Ulmer? Because they're saying now natural causes. Did you notice that?
Is that just because the World Cup was so long?
No? What is it natural causes if you actually poison yourself?
Wow. Yeah. In that part of the world, quite possibly.
Absolutely right.
But don't you love how, okay, we'll talk about this with Matt Parkinson the next hour. Mm. Natural causes. Mm. Let's say it is that. Mm. That means he did write that note?
Oh, he wrote that email to himself. Yeah.
The one about, I have no lust for the job.
Yeah.
Please send money to Ukraine. So we're meant to believe he wrote that email now.
Final wishes.
Okay. I'm hoping they follow the next hour.
Hi, Callum. How are you?
Hi. Good, thanks. How are you?
All right, good, mate. What do you got? What's your idea?
Well, I just thought with all these crazy kids on Still Knocks getting up to shenanigans, perfect chance to bring back, introduce a new game show called It's a Still Knocks Out.
It's a great idea. Now, what are you thinking here? All the kids get some Still Knocks, and then we get them up to the Gold Coast.
Yep.
Just off Billy J. Smith.
Absolutely. Maybe some colourful fridges and some turkeys in it, and Billy J. Smith's doing a bit of, she's eating a turkey!
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Good, mate. What do you do?
In my sleep, I tend to sleepwalk somewhat, but it's an added bonus that I go to the fridge, collect food, and bring it back to bed.
Oh. What sort of stuff's coming back to the cave?
Last time, I think it was a frozen chicken.
Oh, no. That'll happen. Yeah.
Rather sad. It was followed by chicken salt, so it was condiments followed.
You're accessorizing. So do you wake up kind of clutching the frozen chicken? Is that how it works?
It's not. I don't actually know that I'm doing it. It's the missus who informs me later that I'm walking around the house bringing frozen goods back to bed, and like tomato and Vegemite sandwiches and stuff like that. I think I have a bit of Ed Cavalli in me. So.
Ah, wow.
Don't say it. But, you know, this is, I'm glad to see it's just for a banquet.
Mm.
Because the guy who called up last week about the person who was taking frozen chickens to bed.
Another matter. That was a very different matter. That was a very different style of evening.
he had going on there, Chris, which we won't touch on.
As we said, it did always end with the frozen chicken timer popping out. That's when you know it's gone well. Thanks to everyone who contributed,
everyone.
Asleep or otherwise.
I love it to still knock out.
It's a cool.
I love that.
That'll be on Foxtel. It'll be a whole channel next week.
I love it.
Hey, he's here. He's coming in.
Him.
In the next hour.
Oh, yeah.
Our fullest guest.
Marco!
I'm giving this 3 stars.
Oh, I'll give it 2.5.
We've got to get Blakey a map. You could stop playing the jazz flute for a second.
It's not the manly instrument.
Oh, my God, made me.
The Ron Burgundy crew.
In the 70s,
it had its payday.
Really? You went around for that.
So let it go, Ed.
Let it go.
Yesterday, we had George from our Brisbane page on the show today, Melbourne page representative.
Marco,
what's going on your show, though? Sizzle something up. What's the contract?
What's going on our show is Pete Byrne, who is your whole national tonight, he decided he put something on eBay.
Oh,
sorry, not something, nothing. He decided he was going to sell nothing on eBay. eBay said you can't sell nothing. But in the course of him trying to sell nothing on eBay, Bridge said, Gigi Crowe said, if you get more for your nothing than I got for my paintings, because she sold the series of her own paintings, if you get more than I got for the top right painting, which was $12.50, $1,250
wow,
for charity. If you get more than that, she said, I'll run naked somewhere.
Oh, damn.
Now, she didn't think about that, did she?
Because it was early in the morning, and what do you know?
Up to that point, Peter was only getting $50 for nothing. And as soon as she said that, bang, the bidding just went bunter because, of course, people suddenly weren't bidding on nothing. They were bidding to see Bridgie run naked somewhere.
And what is the current value of nothing?
The current value of nothing is well past, it's up to about $3,000.
Wow.
Because once we brought the Open Family Foundation into it and said the money's going to charity, suddenly we had, like, companies going, we're on board, we'll kick in $3,000 and this sort of thing.
But everybody wants to see Bridgie naked.
But you know what Bridgie's done?
Yeah.
By getting her stripping up to $3,000, she's entered into Warwick Kappa territory.
Well,
how much he charges to get it off?
I didn't know he was available.
Oh, yeah.
From redhotstrippers.net or .org.
.org. And he will do garages, but only if there's a cement floor.
No grass.
No grass.
So he'll do garages. That's right.
You need one more tool in your garage.
He's available.
All right. We've got plenty of nothing to talk about in this hour. Get this.
Hi there.
Oh, it's enormous. Peter Gabriel, big time here, and getting this on Triple M. It's the second hour, and we love it when he pops in from the Melbourne cage. Matt Parkinson. We're sort of going for a joke, for a poor joke. We were floating the idea that Bob Woolmer's death could have been natural causes because of how dangerous it was. Dangerous it was in the world of cricket rigging or whatever they call it. Now it seems they're actually saying that for real. Did you notice that?
Yeah. Well,
but wasn't he like strangled and blood everywhere?
Yeah.
That was a natural strangle.
It was probably a naturopath who did all that to him.
Right.
As far as I can tell, just being involved in Pakistani cricket in any way, if you die, there's natural causes. Well, he was involved in Pakistani cricket. There you go.
Fair enough. But like we say, that I haven't got it in front of me, but the wording of that email he supposedly sent, the one where he said he had no lust for the job, and if they want to ask me at it, I might do it.
Yeah.
I mean, possibly was riding it while he was strangling himself. Is that
that's true. Yeah, it's a good way to get two things done at once.
Yeah.
Good multitasking.
We need to get that email in here.
It's a bizarre concept. Do you think that was like, it was his final email to the world?
Yeah, that's what they were saying, yeah.
Because I've just tried to send an email to a mate of mine in Malaysia, and it pinged back, saying unsendable. Imagine if he'd sat down to write my last email to the world, just as he was breathing his last breath, going, no, your email can't be sent.
Oh,
that was 10 minutes wasted right there.
Do you get up to stuff in your sleep, though, Parker?
I'm a very sound sleeper. I've never done any of this sleepwalking stuff, and I'm reassured by that.
because I hate to think what sort of weird gear I might get up to. But I do know someone who's a real good, a real strong sleepwalker who did plenty of nighttime antics.
Yes.
And that's your Greg Fleet.
Ah, mate.
I've been on the road with Fleety a number of times back in the 90s. And this is pretty customary for anyone on the Eastern Seaboard. If you're a Sydney or Melbourne comic, come this time of year, you look forward to what we call, and you might remember this, Tony, your abominable snow gig. Once the snow season is open, you get a call from some guy named Phil or Colin or Mick or whatever, and he is, for this season, his job is he's in charge of entertainment at one of those venues.
The station resort?
Or the frying pan. Or one of those jobs up in the snow, right? And the idea is that you leave here on Friday afternoon in someone's car because they don't put on transport. And you go up there and you drive up the mountain with the weather getting worse and worse and the darkness coming in, thinking, God, I hope we make it. And you park in the car park and somebody picks you up in a bus and you go and stay in like lodge style accommodation, and you do two gigs, one Friday night, one Saturday night, and then you come back down on the Sunday. And it's usually not great money, but pretty good. And while you're there, you get your free drinks, and you know, you're up in the snow. And well, hey, if you like the snow, it's fantastic. Anyway, so we're up in the snow one weekend, and we're in our bunk style accommodation. I'm on the bottom bunk. There's about five or six of us in this room, but I'm on one bottom bunk, and directly above me, I've got Fleety sleeping top bunk.
Okay.
So we go and wipe ourselves out, snow style, as you do, or vodka and tonic, or whatever it was. And we've all reeled back to the bunk room. And at some point in the middle of the night, or maybe just before dawn, because there was a bit of light coming through the window, so I remember I could see this.
Dappled light?
Yes. I'm woken, Ed, by the sound of Fleety struggling out of the top bunk. Yeah. And I think, oh, Fleety's not Fleety's on the phone. Here we go. And I'm sleeping in a position where I've got, at the head end of my bed, there's a wall there. So Fleety gets out of his top bunk and uses my bunk and part of my arm to climb down and get onto the floor. And I can see his shape silhouetted against a bit of the dawn light coming in the window. And I think he's probably getting up for a leak, which he is. But he doesn't go towards the bathroom. He just faces the wall right next to me, about a foot away from my head. And I think, and Fleety's gone to bed fully clothed, so he unbuttons the fly.
Oh, dear.
And out comes the equipment. And he commences the stream against the wall, a foot from my head, and I can see the steam rising up. And I'm thinking, shall I say something? And I was just about to go, "Hey, Fleety, what are you doing?" When I realised he was sleep weeing, as we call it.
Dangerous to wake him up.
And I thought, Tone, what? Yeah, exactly. Because what's the first thing he's going to do? Turn towards me with the strength around me. So I remember just lying there with my head on the pillow, and for a couple of seconds I watched him having a wee, and then I thought, don't be weird, Paco. So I turned over and faced another way.
Just sprinkled a few urinal cakes on the ground and went back to sleep.
Don't be weird, Paco. Don't watch this. Only listen to it.
Yeah, exactly.
And we all enjoyed the warmth from the puddle.
Yeah.
And the hard part for me was, of course, I then had to have a wee. I mean,
to that. I had to get up out of bed.
And Fleety was using the wall.
Well, just for a second, I thought, shall I go on the wall next to where Fleety went?
No, bugger, I'm in the bathroom.
That's when he comes up with a lot of his best material, though, in his sleep.
Yeah, right.
That's when he came up with the idea for jumper pants. Have you heard about that?
Jumper pants.
Just wearing your jumper as pants.
Oh,
you might do it when you're in a hurry in the middle of the night, but he's saying, why not 24 hours a day? Jumper pants now. Yeah,
good on you. Yeah. Take him to the streets.
Good. I might wear footy jumper pants to the footy next week.
Oh, look.
Sport.
Are we talking sport? I think we might be next to get this.
It's not how many times do I have to tell you, Marco, Tony and Rich, it is not a scene. All right? It is an arms race.
It's
not. Right. Face. And according to our listener, I will keep seeing that song until you get it. All right? Marco is here. Sir Parkinson from the Melbourne Cage and for film buffs from Windrider.
Well, thank you, the role of Lurch.
That took a long time, Tone.
Parkinson, king of the cutting room floor.
Someone we had the TV on in the studio this morning when we were doing the show, as we always do, with the sound down, and there was a picture of Nicole in costume for Baz Luhrmann's epic Australia.
Oh, yeah.
And someone in the studio went, gee, she's a weird-looking unit. And then they cut out for the wide shot, and she was in sort of period costume. And this person's gone, oh, she's in costume. And I went, no, she's a weird-looking unit the whole time. She was a weird-looking unit in 87 when I worked with her on Windrider.
full-time weird-looking unit.
Speaking of your weird-looking unit, can I just take over here a second?
I was catching the 7:30 report the other night. Now, I'm no Tony Martin. I don't watch every damn news program that goes to air.
Lucky man.
But I was lucky enough to catch a weird-looking unit called Dr. Brendan Nelson.
Many people might not know
is our Federal Minister for Defence. It's a tough guy. What a bang-up job he's doing. The story on the 7:30 report was about a guy named Mike Kelly, who was recently serving officer in the Australian Army. Mike, not happy with what went on in Abu Ghraib, said that our government knew about it before it went public. Not happy with the AWB, the whole wheat bribery scandal thing. And Mike generally just, hey, this war's not a great idea. So Mike Kelly with a few critical things to say.
Where's he getting his information, though? I don't know if I can trust people in the army talking about the war.
I find first-hand information is very unreliable.
So do I.
On the whole.
Always, Parker.
Much better to go with the words of Dr. Brendan Nelson. Here, for instance, is Dr. Brendan. He was on the 7:30 report talking to Kerry O'Brien. Brendan offering his gratitude to various members of the forces here.
I thank him, as I do all the men and women who've served in the Australian Army for their service to our country.
And if you're in the Navy or the Air Force, apparently you can get stuck.
Dr. Nelson doesn't care about you, despite the fact that he's a Minister for Defence.
Not correctly briefed. Weird-looking unit, Dr. Brendan Nelson, is also given to a bit of this, a particular kind of polyspeak, which I really love. Here's a sample of Brendan just creating some suspense before he actually reckons anything.
I
wonder what it's going to be. I love people who talk like that. Let me just say this. It's like a DJ going, coming up after the break, we're going to be talking about sleepwalking.
It's
just creating that Hitchcockian monster of suspense. I have a theory, though, that Dr. Brendan Nelson maybe podcasts this show.
Oh, really?
Because the other day you thought you did a sketch which I thought was rather good. You did a really good Tony Blair impersonation. You took the Mickey out of George Bush for about the millionth time.
Yeah, a lot of that was just word for word.
This is a bit of you, Tony Martin, being George Bush.
The United States of Great Britain.
Just getting the name of the country wrong.
Yes.
I think Dr. Brendan Nelson might have podcasted that because here is Dr. Nelson on the 7:30 report running through the names of the countries involved in the Coalition of the Willing.
The government and the UN is basically asking Australia, the US, the Britain and other countries...
The Britain! I love Britain!
The Britain!
And what are those other countries? Who else is on that list?
That's it.
Yes. No. I think Moldova's involved.
Moldova.
Seychelles.
The Moldova.
The Moldova.
Well, Dr. Brendan would love the Seychelles because that's one of the few countries with a V
in the front.
The Seychelles.
I'm not sure if Italy were involved.
Did you see in Texas they're selling coffee mugs with Mount Rushmore on, and it's the new Mount Rushmore. It's Bush, Blair, Howard, and whoever's in charge of Spain.
Oh, really? And well, from 40 Towers?
It's the mug of the willing.
The mug of the willing, and Howard's on there.
I love the taste of freedom in the morning. And there was something else you're referring to. Oh, Australia, bad rumours. Did you hear what happened?
Yeah.
Bloke parked his van in the main street, went off to get pissed. I've got to film a massive period cattle drive down the main street.
Had to call off filming for a day.
Yay!
I'm the bloke who drove the van.
Didn't have DHL in the 1940s.
Just left him in. You know, Ben's on for a bit of anachronism. Just have him in every shot, just looking for his keys.
up the back of the rowdy roustabout.
How is Hugh Jackman looking as the rowdy roustabout?
Very rowdy.
Scarf around the neck.
No, yeah, neckerchief.
A bit of a cravat happening underneath the car.
Nothing says rowdy Stockman like a cravat.
Give that guy at the Melbourne room, he's got a cravat on.
Do you know they all used to wear that?
Yeah.
Tops and tails for all rowdy roustabouts back in the day. People don't know that. Cattle driving, full ball gown for everyone.
You try throwing a decent rope without your gloves on. It's really difficult.
So much chafing.
Yes.
Hey, we've got...
Yeah, well spotted, Parker. If you're on the...
just joined us, Parker was telling us about a fantastic scheme they've come up with on his show, The Cage on Breakfast, Triple M in Melbourne. You can podcast it from anywhere, Dr. Brendan. A great idea of selling nothing on the internet.
Yeah.
What else is on the internet that's completely worthless? We'll find out next.
Thank you.
nominations on Triple M. I am the king of the double lookers.
You are so good at the double lookers.
Some of them too obscure. Craig Eagle, comedian, plus Matt Tilley equals Ricky Ponting.
Don't be wrong.
If you know Craig Eagle, that's spot on.
Matt Parkinson is with us from the Melbourne Gate. And just to recap, this fantastic idea, you're selling nothing on eBay.
Pete Burnett's big idea was for the Gates to put nothing on eBay. And for a while it stayed on there. In fact, it inspired a couple of other eBay users to put, one of them put up a faux nothing. Which was a very close simulation of Pete Nothing that had been through a lot of trouble to work
so
up.
Would that technically be something?
I think that's why that stayed on eBay longer than our original Nothing.
It's essential to
people at eBay.
They get right into the specifics. They apparently have a rule, and I'm just looking out here.
I went to check it one day, and I got this message. We appreciate you chose eBay to list the following auction-style listings, the cages, nothing. We would like to take this opportunity to let you know what part of your listing is not permitted. Your listing contains the following information. The cage is nothing. not very extensive information, obviously, because it's not a lot to work with. But it says that you can't sell anything invisible or intangible. Nevertheless, I found online a couple of examples of other people who set up their own websites to sell nothing.
Yes.
For instance, there's this guy. One guy's got this thing called Selling Nothing. He's trademarked Selling Nothing. He has his own site. I'm not really sure how it works, but he's putting himself through college.
Yes.
He's a young South Korean guy. He's putting himself through college in America by selling nothing.
He's selling nothing?
On an ongoing basis. He's a nothing broker. And it's not just one nothing, but like people can, if you need to buy into nothing or you need some nothing, you feel you've got too much in your life and want some space, you just buy some nothing off this guy.
So he gets cheap nothing, waits for the value to rise, and then sells it.
He gets nothing wholesale.
Wow. And how much is nothing going for?
So, I mean, what kind of... Well, that's the beauty of, see, on his thing, at the moment, it's going for $300. But you can bid whatever you like. Whatever you're willing to pay, he will sort you out with a bit of nothing of equivalent value.
You can get nothing for way cheaper than that if you look around. What about the picture? What picture do you have on your eBay of nothing?
Well, in our case, we just had a picture of Bernard standing there with his hand extended, holding nothing. Which technically, once again, that was actually a picture of some hand.
That's true.
You keep running into this obstacle.
That's true.
Here's another one online, Selling Nothing for Profit, by Johnny DeBarkle, in which he talks up a procedure where he says, we are bullish on firms which embrace this contagion and switch from selling something to selling nothing. He's basically on-sold the concept of selling nothing to other organisations and said, you can make money out of this. And even more bizarre than that, there's an e-book you can get called Make Money Selling Nothing on eBay, in which you charge a small fee on all other auctions.
Wow.
And even though you're selling nothing and other people are selling something, you get something out of every time. They sell
something. You can make a commission on nothing.
That's
10%
right.
10% of nothing.
He's selling nothing. The other people are selling something. He makes commission. He's selling nothing.
Is that plagiarism? Do you remember there was a few years ago that, was it John Cage, the avant-garde artist, who put out an album which had a track on it that was called 3 Minutes of Nothing, and it was just complete silence?
That's right. That came up too when I was researching this.
And then...
So it was a downloadable silence, basically.
Yeah, it was exactly 3 minutes long. Mm. And then someone else did it on their album and was successfully sued for plagiarism.
Really?
Because their nothing sounded exactly like his nothing. So you've got to be careful out there.
You painted yourself into a corner there, haven't you?
Yeah, and obviously, if you didn't hear earlier, the bids are starting to come in now that Bridget Duclos from the Melbourne Cage has threatened to get about in the nutty. Well, what exactly are the requirements for that?
All she said was that she would run nude somewhere. Now, I suggested that probably the best place for her to feel comfortable doing that would be at the Institute for the Blind.
Very good idea.
And we can get some guys with guide dogs to verify by touch that she was naked.
But she didn't seem that keen on that.
So it's still up in the air. We're still trying to find a way where Bridgie is happy. We suggested various things such as hot air ballooning.
Okay.
I thought that'd be good.
Okay.
Or even skydiving in Nick, but apparently there are various wind resistance issues on
surface. Body might not say that to you.
Yeah. You're screaming through the air.
It's trickier than you think. But we're saying today, forget the nothing business, what have you bought on the internet? What have you bought on the internet, Richard Marsden?
I am down, and I'm still coming to me through the mail, but a Hillary Clinton for President t-shirt.
Oh, okay.
Which at some stage will be fashionable, I'd imagine.
Really?
Because whether or not she gets through to, you know, whether she makes it through, whether it's, you know, Barack Obama or Al Gore or whoever, they're having a Dukakis shirt now. Or a Jesse Jackson shirt now. They kind of look cool.
So by the time you get it, she might already be president.
Right.
Or have been knocked out of the race.
Totally ineffective.
I'm getting no bids for my Barry Unsworth t-shirt. Nothing coming in there.
funding for my Ewan Chatfield t-shirt.
Really? I'm surprised at that.
Ian Cavalli, what have you bought?
I've ordered a small helicopter. You can buy small remote-controlled helicopters that you can fly around the room.
How small? Like, small enough for us to get in and go somewhere?
Like, you and I could get in, but these guys have to wait their turn. I'm talking, like, the size of... of some head. What's that?
Okay. I know. I can see. I know what you're planning to do. You're going to sit at home. You're going to paint this helicopter green. Mm-hmm. And you're going to sit at home with your helicopter going...
incoming launder.
No, that's wrong, because we're not MASH fans on the show. We're after MASH fans. When there was only three of them left with nothing to do. One of them was Klinger. Can't remember who the other two were.
Father Mulcahy was in there.
And Colonel Potter.
Yeah.
How embarrassing. All right, what have you found on the internet? What did you pay for it?
Yeah.
Call us up, tell all, 133353. Oh, Billy Idol, you know it is here at Get This on Triple M. Matt Parkinson is with us on the Melbourne Cage. He's selling, or at least his show is selling, nothing on eBay, and, well, it's going quite well. Who else has bought something unusual on the internet? Ed, Jackie, how are you?
Very well, how are you? Hi, boys.
Hello. What have you, what'd you buy?
I bought a 1950 pocket warmer. And they were used in the Second World War. They were filled with a lighter fluid, and you lit them, put the lid on them, and you kept them in your pocket to keep your hands warm.
So like a hot water bottle that you just carry about.
Yeah, basically.
Why would you have bought that?
Because I could.
You don't have cold hands a lot, Jackie?
No,
that
I don't.
Okay. Yeah. Just the memorabilia thing. How much is that going for?
I just paid for it. It was $10.32 Australian, but they're actually quite difficult to get.
Oh, well done. That's a collector's item then. So I don't want to ever see it because it'll be in your pocket, but that's pretty cool. Well done.
I'm sure I'll be able to proudly display it somewhere.
Oh,
I've got to get on. Good way to get felt up. But, you know, put your hand in my pocket. It's warm. That's nice.
World War II stuff.
I remember that one.
I want to buy a doodle bug. Can you get doodle bugs?
What's that?
That was some sort of missile raining down during the Blitz. I don't know what was going on. My grandmother was constantly saying, oh, you didn't even live in London, but it was all during the Blitz. Doodle bugs raining from the sky. Your kids don't know what it's like.
It's interesting to hear about the pocket warmers. It sort of explains why so many people came back from World War II with bandaged hands.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what happened? Pocket warmers?
Yeah.
Pocket warmers.
It's a hell out there. Bad idea, but one day they'll be selling for $10.37.
Hello, going next? Hi, Keith. How are you?
Yeah, it's about you yourself, guys.
Where are you going? What'd you buy?
I didn't buy anything. My friend actually was selling a used cigarette butt from his outside his house. He sold it for $100 on eBay.
Not bad.
It looked a bit screwed up, like someone stepped on it with their shoe.
That could have been anyone.
Okay, could you tell what brand it was, Keith? Was it your uppity sort of Dunhill silk cut type arrangement?
I think it was a Benson and Hedges.
The best will do, isn't it? All the time.
That's it.
Celebrity one. Someone was selling, I think, a cigarette butt that had lipstick from Lindsay Lohan.
That's right.
On the internet. I'm sure there'd be a lot of objects with lipstick from Lindsay Lohan out there that you could bid for.
Body parts. Yeah, there you go.
Who else have we got?
Hey, John, how are you?
Not too bad, yourself?
Excellent, mate. What'd you buy?
Yeah, a Mr. T-shirt that said, treat your mother right. It had this whole sort of, Uncle Sam sort of pose happening.
Can I have to actually say, treat your mama right?
Treat your mother right.
Okay.
That's the T saying the word mother, correctly.
Yeah.
Very rare.
Would your mum wear one of those, Ed? You know, just get the T-shirt on, causing any trouble, just point to the shirt.
Point to the shirt. Yes. Well, she can point out what she wants, because we live in different cities. best of luck with that, Mum.
He's got his own T-shirt that says, point all you want, Mum. Who else is bullseye?
Bruce, how are you?
Yeah, good going.
What'd you buy?
I bought from the 80s, a Devo Paladome off the official Devo site.
Devo?
It's the red hat with all of the casting on it. It was $25 for the hat and $15 for freight. Wow. My wife will have to head off for $65 very crappy Chinese top plate holder.
Okay.
Well, I guess it could be used as that as well. Were you a Devo fan, Parker?
Yes, I was. But I just wanted to ask Bruce there, the freight, $15 a freight, when it arrived, did it arrive actually, was it delivered to you on the head of a member of Devo? Just take it off. Because, I mean, you know, their schedules aren't exactly full nowadays, so I think they don't have the time.
Wait till they do the sequel to Dr. Detroit. Then they'll be back! Then they'll be back.
Thank you, Bruce. Hello, Wayne. Are you there?
I am here. How are you all?
Good, well, mate. We're great. What are you selling?
I'm actually the person who's selling the phone nothing.
Is your phone nothing still on eBay?
My first phone actually ended last night.
Mm-hmm.
And just after it ended, I was contacted by a couple of people who wanted to donate. I'm obviously raising the money for the mission as well.
Yes, good man.
People wanted to donate something, so I've started a second nothing.
All right. So how much did your original phone nothing get?
Well, not quite in the league of yours. Mine actually only went for $31. But
still, for a good cause, that's $31.
It is foe, after all. It is foe.
Mm. It is foe, yeah.
And how did you copy the nothing, Wayne?
I actually included a picture of the box, so I think that's why they left mine on.
Yeah, it is.
Collect the whole set.
See, that was the improvement. Wayne actually had packaging things in there. That was a major improvement.
Yeah, but of course, Wayne isn't offering to get about in the nude.
No,
well, not either.
What do you say, Wayne?
I believe I'd probably raise more if I promised not to.
All right. Wayne prepared to keep his clothes on for good money.
It's a winning strategy. You know, I reckon we should take that one from Cam.
Hi, Cam. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. And yourself?
We're great. What'd you buy?
Well, I sold my race car that I was building.
Oh, what? Really? Did it work?
Yes, I made about $400 on it. It was only a shell.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know.
My partner and I went and bought golf clubs for my birthday present, and I was looking for a dummy's guide to golf, and I came across a 1925 Guide to Golf by James Barnes, printed in the UK.
Would have been golf a very different game back then, Cam? I imagine rule one would be no foreigners or coloured people.
That was in the Golf and Nincompoop series. Very popular. Back in the 1920s.
Cam, do you now need a nice pair of plus fours to go on the course in, do you feel?
I need all the help I can get.
Okay, fair enough.
Well, seeing you on the tour. Thank you, Cam.
It's great to meet someone who sold a hollow car that they've made themselves. And in the end, got a 1925 golf book.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. Who says we don't offer the greatest variety on radio here again? But what about terror? Do you like being terrified, Parker?
I like being alert but not alarmed.
That's true.
And that's why I hate the security drills we have in this building. You know, sometimes you come in, the blue light's flashing, and you just go, oh, that'll be Tony Bullimore falling out of his boat again.
He's cracking in the front door of the station.
I think it actually means Lips of an Angel's about to go to end. Everyone vacate the building.
That's why it goes off all the time.
We've got something creepy for you next on Get There. Here and Get This on Triple M. Parker, what do you like to watch on the cable TV? Sorry, I've just hit you under the table. I wasn't hitting
you there. Do that. Makes me feel like I belong. I love the History Channel because I'm one of those people who grew up in the era of the Saturday afternoon midday movie. So I love a war movie.
Exactly.
I could watch Dam Busters. Anything involving Stiff Upper Lip Englishman having a crack at Jerry.
Yes.
Or indeed John Wayne and his faithful cohort talking about how they're going to go for the nip. I like the History Channel, or as we know it at my house, the Hitler Channel.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, they do everything about how Hitler brushed his teeth Wednesday on the History Channel.
Hitler's boots talk exclusively to us.
Yes.
All Hitler, all the time. We love to go back to the shows from the, when theme music really was good.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Back in the 80s, shows like this.
A kind of a colourful clothing figure.
waiter reached down and there was some music started.
Really? How was that?
I can't explain where it was coming from.
Okay.
And he was like a gold bag with the radio in it.
Really? What kind of music?
Oh, we have a recording of it. It was like, here you go. Can you hear that thing?
Yeah.
It's good. I heard that. The whole people were terrified, but at the same time, you couldn't help but party. Then it started with the material, one line was largely, and we heard a voice.
Yeah, yeah, let's go.
Very few phrases were recognizable, and at one point it did say,
she didn't know it was spring. What was it?
Yeah, I don't know what that meant, but yeah, by that time people were just having such a good time, I guess.
Everyone who called in let down on the bottom of the hand and has prepared